Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Limb. That's the nothing personal word of the day for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. Welcome to today's edition of Nothing Personal, where I plan to go out on a limb. It's prediction time, the worst time of year. I love not having to make predictions when I was in the game. Then you just say, of course, our team. I had the Expos winning the World Series twice. I had the Marlins winning the World Series 16 times. Those were my predictions. Didn't care about anything else. Of course, you switch over to the media, get your own show, and Coca says to you, what are your predictions? You can look like a complete jackass when the season ends and you didn't get one thing right. Well, one thing we can do is just predict the way everybody else is. We'll get to that in the show, but we're starting with a big-time Scott Boras victory. He promised Jordan Montgomery a long-term deal, and by golly, he got it. With 24 hours remaining until the season begins, Jordan Montgomery has finally, yes, the same pitcher who pitched in the World Series for the Texas Rangers, the same pitcher who shall be receiving a ring, signed a deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Arizona Diamondbacks. That's right, the team that he beat in last year's World Series. But it was not exactly a long-term deal. He signed a one-year, $25 million deal. Now he does have a vesting option for next year. That's exciting. If he starts 10 games, he can make $20 million. That's pretty good. If he starts 18 games, he'll make $22.5 million. And for him to make 25 next year, he's got to start 23 games this year. A regular pitcher, if you're healthy the entire year, you get, let's say, 33 starts, maybe 34, but generally 33 means you're healthy for 6 months and you take the ball every 5 days. Well, Montgomery's not ready to start the season. My guess is he's not with the Diamondbacks for, let's even be generous and say, 2 weeks. That's two starts down. He's already down to, let's say, 31. So the Diamondbacks said in their mind, this is amazing. I'm willing to take on this salary right now, go to a record salary for our franchise because I am an octogenarian owner. I came this tiny bit close to getting a ring, never got a ring. Remember, it was Jerry Colangelo in charge in 2001, the Diamondbacks' first and only World Series victory in franchise history. Who can forget that when Joe Torre brought the infield in and a little duck, it's called a duck fart. I don't know if I can say that on the DraftKings network. Was that on the list of words I can't say? Someone get back to me on that. Beep. Diamondbacks win it in 0-1. That's the thing when you come so close, you just want to get it again. And then when you win it, you just want to get it again. Jordan Montgomery goes to a team that now has the depth to really make some noise this year. I wonder if Boras is happy that he is firming up the D-backs. He's not a big fan of Otani's agent, not a big fan that Joel Wolf has Yamamoto, the two players who really succeeded this offseason with their contracts. Boras's guys all were unmitigated short-term disasters. I thought that Montgomery would go back to Texas. I really did. I didn't think anyone would value him more. On February 14th, I told you in a wait to see that he would sign again with Texas, not remembering that if no long-term deals are available, it opens up other teams to nab him on a short-term deal. So Montgomery is there with the Diamondbacks. Boris ends his offseason with all four of the guys getting one-year pluses. Opt-outs after 1 year. Bellinger could go up to 3 years. Some players to 2 years. We got to watch Bellinger and Snell and Chapman. Montgomery. I don't know. With all the stuff going on with Boris and the union, with all of his players not getting signed, I don't believe that Scott's going to take this quietly. No one ever likes the end of their power. Have you ever noticed that? The way people fight right at the very end, they don't walk smoothly into the sunset. So few players do that. From a player standpoint, that manifests itself in playing two extra years when you stink and then doing jersey exchanges for a season and then retiring, getting a rocking chair. I don't count that as going out easily. All right, let's do some predictions. Before we get into specific team result predictions, I want to talk about some things that are going to go on during the course of this season that you should look for. And the reason I'm able to give you this list is these are things that, in my experience, always happen. So it's almost unfair. I was thinking back during all my years, did I ever have a season where this sort of stuff didn't come up? So, for example, I can tell you that whatever the sort of feeling is of health or the feeling is about PEDs and the absolute idiocy required for any player to take a performance-enhancing drug. And believe me, it's straight idiocy. There is no player who mistakenly ingests a PED. The most out-of-shape, tubby player knows exactly what he's eating. And believe me, they all know what's in the needle. This year, like every year, there will be at least one suspension of someone on a major league roster for a performance-enhancing drug. And I will again be forced to ask the question, why? There's also another thing that is almost guaranteed to happen. I will tell you it will happen. There will be a managerial firing in season, and there will be a general manager firing in season. We fired so many managers in season. Here's why. We thought we were better than we're playing. Therefore, it must be the manager. We thought the players we had were better than they actually are. It must be the general manager. I can't believe this guy's available. I'm tampering with him, and I want him in my organization. I'm making a change. Those are the general three reasons why managers and general managers are fired, having nothing to do with the fourth, fifth, sixth reason, which I put all under A-C-U-T-E, acute. That means if there's a manager or GM charged with a crime, they're found out to have gambled, they're found out to have stolen, whatever, there's an acute reason. But that still would count for my prediction. But more likely, I think the manager and general manager firings happen because of a disconnect between what an owner thinks about his team and what his team actually is. I think you're going to see early trades this season. There are teams that are so obviously selling. Just look at the signings of some of the teams on the lower bracket. Listen, is it possible that Pittsburgh becomes the surprise team this year? Yes, it is. But they are very ready if they don't, with some one-year players who, if they play well, are ready to be jettisoned. When there are more buyers than sellers, what a team president does is get in front of it by telling his GM that we are willing to take on an ad earlier than what we had projected. Because in our budget, we assume trade deadline acquisitions. We do not budget for trade deadline selling. So we only budget to add money to the cash payroll at the deadline. But if you add in June instead of July, you're obviously adding more salary because there's more of the season left. I believe that more teams are budgeting to add more dollars earlier because in a market when there are more buyers than sellers, the best way to succeed is to be an EB, an early buyer. So I believe there will be early trades because there will be early buyers. I think that Groundhog Day is one of my favorite films. All the movies where sort of the same, Edge of Tomorrow, love that movie, where you just go through the same thing and you try to make little changes. I think the 2024 season is going to have one theme that's really similar to the 2023 season. I thought so all the way back on January 9th of this year, when I said if the Yankees don't make the postseason, Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone are going to lose their jobs. Now, sort of like guessing that one day it's going to rain, you're going to be right at some point. I've been guessing this now for 3 years. But this time I really mean it. If the Yankees don't make the playoffs, Boone and Cash are gone. And guess what? Spoiler alert for my upcoming picks. I have the Yankees as one of the biggest disappointments. Now, I know that seems harsh to put the Yankees, Mets, and Padres back in the same category, especially because the Yankees, Mets, and Padres didn't make the playoffs last year. They were the biggest disappointments last year. I don't know how you put the Padres and Mets as disappointments when the Padres lost Soto and Snell. The Mets are the Mets. But I do still think it will be a disappointment when New York and San Diego are left out of the playoffs. In terms of player signings, I still have these pieces of paper, Coca. This is funny. Larry Beinfest and I, former president of baseball ops, or Mike Hill and I, former president of baseball ops, we would do a note exchange. So we would take a piece of paper, pretend it didn't say nothing personal on it, pretend it said Marlins or Expos. And we would write down right before the season started, like today. Today's a workout day for teams. You are in your city where you're opening, whether you're home or on the road, and you go work out. Side note, the way the workouts go, the home team always wants to work out at the same time that the game is played. So if it's a 4 o'clock game, the home team wants to take batting practice in infield 4 o'clock today. And then the visitors get a choice. You can go before, you can go after. But home team gets to choose. We always like to choose when the game was played. Unless it was a night game to start at home, in which case we would still go in the afternoon because we wanted the players to get home and get the staff to get home and relax the night before opening day. Because opening day is so high stress, mostly for executives. Why was I even talking about that? Welcome to Nothing Personal, where sometimes my brain just starts thinking of things to say and it has nothing to do with where my head was. And then I wait for Coca to yell in my ear to say, you were just talking about which players are going to be a disappointment. Which signings are going to stink. Oh, yeah. Got it, Coca. So we would exchange paper, not Nothing Personal paper. We'd write down the names of players, what their contract is, and the one that was furthest away from being marked to market was the winner of our contest and the loser for that particular team. A player who's marked to market is if you're making $20 million at the end of the year, were you worth $40 million? Then you were not marked to market. Were you worth $1 million? Then you were not marked to market. Your goal as an executive is to have 26 guys who are exactly minimally mark to market. If they outperform, great. But if you have underperformers, then your team has a problem. Everybody's super excited that the Padres traded for Dylan Cease. I think Dylan Cease is ripe to be a huge disappointment for the Padres because they thought they were trading for an ace, and I view Dylan Cease more as a three. Definitionally, that's going to be a disappointment. Two, the Mets may be super excited to have J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez may be super angry that he couldn't get a bigger deal given the year he had last year. Settling for the 1 year, I mean, it's not peanuts. You can feed your family on what JD's taking. Even Sprewell would get out of bed to sign the deal. But I'm not sure he makes it through the season. He's supposed to be with Alonzo, a 1-2 power threat. I assume he gets traded or designated before the end of the season because the Mets will not be performing, and therefore you might as well save the case. Did that come out sounding cool, Coca? Save the cash? Do people call it case? The young people? The hip people? Next. I'm concerned about the Cubbies, and I love Chicago so much. They brought back Cody Bellinger, thinking the Cody Bellinger from last year is the Cody Bellinger from this year, returning back to the Cody Bellinger from LA when he was the MVP, not the worst performing position player in all of baseball. They didn't give him a ton, but I think that this will be the final year that Cody Bellinger even gets to speak directly to Scott Boras before Scott shuns him and gives him to one of his underlings because he's such an underperformer who can't make Scott money anymore. Stories to watch. This is really like last year. I was thinking about this. What am I paying attention to? Last year I said the Ohtani free agency is the biggest story in baseball, except the RSNs are the number one story in baseball. The RSN situation is the most important story in baseball. Well, guess what? I got my list this year of stories to watch. Guess what's number one? RSNs. Because we haven't gone anywhere other than the games are on TV this year. There's a one-year reprieve. We have no idea what's happening next year, and teams are panicked. MLB's hiring people left and right to open a TV network, a studio above and beyond MLB Network. Trying to figure out if they have to, and we're going to talk about this story next, actually. Talk about if they're going to have to broadcast their own games, period. Bid on the rights. I'm also looking at Ohtani. Last year was the Ohtani signing. This year it's the Ohtani gambling. Either way, Ohtani, common thread, story to watch. Three, the labor situation. Can we talk about that for just a quick second, Coca? Every time you read about unrest in the union, every time you read about players who are signed or not signed, irregularities in the market, shock and awe over the lack of long-term deals, or shock and awe at the long-term deals that actually are signed, which means it's just shock and awe. In 2024, what's going on is called labor positioning. Labor positioning is a word that I've coined to say what baseball does, what owners do, and what players do as they begin to head into the preliminary discussions of a new collective bargaining agreement. Labor positioning comes with huffing and puffing and blowing the other side down because you don't let them get away with one tiny minor CBA violation. You've got to grieve it. You've got to call it out. You've got to exchange letters because any little inch that you give to the other side when you're doing bargaining positioning, any inch is an inch the other side takes and then doesn't need to negotiate to keep during the course of a full-blown CBA negotiation. That means when you go a year or two before you're at the table, this is when you start putting flags down in certain areas, and it causes fighting, it causes grievances, it causes back and forth. So I'm looking for that significantly. The last story to watch is, again, the A's and Rays. The A's have not completed their deal to Vegas, despite all evidence to the contrary. And believe me, there's very little evidence to the contrary. The Rays have not gotten their deal done, despite all evidence to the contrary. And there's been some evidence to the contrary, but not quite a lot. All of the expansion talk cannot happen. And you heard the commissioner demur when asked about expansion and the timing of such, because the A's and Rays are not settled. And now it's so screwy that once they are settled, now you worry about the Diamondbacks. The Royals have a big vote coming up with what's going to happen with their new stadium plan April 2nd. There's so many teams with stadium issues. It's crazy. So those are my stories that I'll be watching, my disappointments, my predictions. Of course, we haven't yet gotten to the meat, but we will. One of the things about picking division winners and then wild card teams and World Series winners is it is so rare for a team in baseball to win the offseason and then win October. I've won the offseason, I've won October 2 different years. Way different. The Padres won the offseason, no October. Mets, offseason, no October. Rangers won the offseason 2 years ago, no October. And then the year after, they came back and won the World Series. Very hard to make the predictions, but I'm going to go for it. There is a document on davidsampsonpodcast.com. And if you go to this document, it's a tracking document where you can see my top 100 movies. You can also see what my words of the day are, what my picks of the day are, everything. What we're doing this year for you is playing a game. We are giving you a document that shows all of my picks and what their DraftKings odds are to take place. And then we will go back and see how many points we made. Coca, can you bring that up on screen? If you do, and you're watching this on either the DraftKings Network live on YouTube, then you can maybe see the picks that I've made. If not, I'm going to run through them because you're listening to the show, and I appreciate that too. I've got the Blue Jays winning the AL East, not the Orioles or Yankees, the Twins in the Central, and the Astros in the West. There is value on the Blue Jays. I've got the Braves, Cardinals, and D-backs winning their divisions in the National League. Now, before you do a wellness check on me, yes, I do not view the Dodgers as the juggernaut that everybody does. Having nothing to do with the distractions that exist, when I look at the Diamondbacks rotation, assuming Eduardo Rodriguez can come back and be decent, don't forget the Diamondbacks rotation got them to the World Series, and that's before adding Montgomery, before adding Rodriguez. They're bringing back Gallen and Kelly and Fott. I love their position players. I think Carroll is the least likely to regress of anybody on the Orioles. So D-backs, Cardinals, I'm going to keep going with them, even though they have no leadership. And Nolan Arenado said the most ridiculous thing about leadership that I covered on a previous episode. That division, maybe sexy people are taking the Cubs. Maybe crazy people are saying, hey, what about the field? You could be right. I'm sticking with the Cards. Who's going to join them in the playoffs? In the AL, Seattle, you've got yourself a ticket. Texas and Baltimore. That's right, no Yankees. In the National League, Phillies, Dodgers, Giants. That's right, no Padres. My World Series, hold on to your bippies, everybody. The Seattle Mariners will win their first World Series in franchise history, and they'll do it behind MVP Julio Rodriguez, and they'll do it by beating the Diamondbacks. If the Mariners beat the Diamondbacks in the World Series, I'm going to get to play this video again, and I'm going to look like a genius. It's so smart to make a pick like this. I pick the Braves over the Astros, like every other schnook out there. Everybody's choosing Phillies or Braves or Astros. They can't all be right, can they? MVP. I got a great value MVP for you. He's a member of the Philadelphia Phillies, and he struggled to open last year. And then you great fans gave him an ovation. I was going to announce this at the show in Philadelphia next Tuesday at City Winery. But no, we're doing the show today. Trey Turner is my MVP pick, along with Julio Rodriguez. Cy Young. If you haven't watched Spencer Strider pitch, then watch Atlanta Braves baseball. He's nasty, nastier than any pitcher in baseball. And I'm matching him with Luis Castillo of the World Series winning Mariners, who have the deepest rotation, sorry, Philadelphia, of any team in baseball. Rookie of the year. Everyone's all jacked up about the Texas Rangers rookie, Wyatt. Forget it. Evan Carter's still a rookie. Hello, is anyone paying attention? Evan Carter, remember him from the World Series last year? That's right. He's a rookie. He is going to mash. And then Jackson Merrill of the Padres. So those are my picks Those are pretty aggressive picks, Coca. Go to the document at davidsamsonpodcast.com. You can check them out. Make your own picks and then see how many points you have. Is anyone going to be able to watch baseball? I ask that only half jokingly and half worryingly. Rumor came out yesterday that ESPN is thinking of opting out of its broadcast deal with MLB. Let me explain before everyone in baseball panics. ESPN signed a deal for about, whatever it was, $500, $550 million a year. And it's a deal that goes through 2028. Except there's an opt-out. Some people are saying it's an opt-out at the end of 24. Some people are saying it's an opt-out at the end of 25. To me, it makes more sense if it were at the end of 24. The calculus that goes in to a broadcaster when they threaten to opt out of an existing deal is, what more can I get for this same amount of money? And I want to explain what I mean by that. When a player has a contract, like all the Boris clients that allow for an opt-out, the only reason a player opts out of his contract is when he has tampered and he knows that he can get more from either his same team or another team. Then he opts out and re-signs. Broadcasters are slightly different. MLB knows that ESPN doesn't want to drop baseball. They don't. ESPN loves the Sunday night game, not as much as they love the playoffs. They love having the hours. In a world where content matters and they're trying to promote other platforms like ESPN Plus, if the provisions of the original broadcast deal do not allow for the streaming of certain games, for the exclusive streaming of certain games, there are certain things that ESPN wants to do because the world has changed so much since that deal was originally signed. By threatening to opt out, what they're really doing is calling baseball and saying, "Hi, my name used to be John Skipper, now it's Jimmy Pitaro. I would like you to consider the following three things. One, we'd like to have an exclusive playoff game streaming on ESPN Plus. Two, we would like our Sunday night games once a month to be exclusively streaming. Three, we would like players to wear mics, and we would like to have you give us blank in terms of production help and blank in terms of access during the games that we produce." MLB says, "Well, none of that's part of the contract." "Oh, thank you for mentioning that. We're going to opt out of that contract, and then you're going to have to negotiate with us, and I'm telling you what we're demanding. And if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to replace the $540 million that we give you with Peacock. You can't even get a weekly deal with them right now, Apple TV Plus, or your own network. So my name is ESPN, and I've got leverage. I'm going to get the word out that I'm opting out. You're going to come back to me and give me everything I want as an adjustment to the current deal because I want it now, not after this deal expires." That's what I think is going to happen. Is it a worry for owners? It's all a worry. Media revenue used to be the cow that we could all go up to and suck the teat, and it would be overflowing with cash coming out of every udder. And then all of a sudden, it looks like it may be drying up. And you thought that wouldn't trickle down to player contracts and length of contracts, Boris or no Boris? Of course. However, don't sound the alarm bell. There will still be baseball on TV. All right. Ooh, this was a great question, Coco. Will you play some music?
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. Get into my ex at David P. Samson or go on the podcast website, davidsamsonpodcast.com. Ask me a question. It may make the show. This is a great question that I got from so many of you. David, please settle a bet with my friends. Ha ha, you're funny. How does MLB handle suspensions for a player with deferred salary? Yes, comma, I am talking about Ohtani. Little word of advice for the person who wrote the question. I love the question. I'm going to answer it. But I knew you were talking about Ohtani. You knew that I'd know that you were talking about Ohtani. If you know that the other person knows that they know that you know, then leave it be. You don't have to confirm what's already known. I appreciate that you asked. Let me be clear. Shohei Ohtani is making $2 million this year. It's causing some confusion because people thought he was making 70. But the way his contract is that he's got $2 million this year and 68 of the 70 is deferred until 2034. And this is what his years will look like for the next 10 years. So he's making $2 million a year for 10 years, then $68 million a year for the next 10 years. The way players get paid is based on a daily rate. I had not put it that way before. It sounds horrible. Hey, what's your hourly rate? So the daily rate is based on the number of days in the championship season, not the number of games. So it is not true that players get paid per game. They get paid per day. So what you do is you take the salary and you pay it over 186 days. That's the number of days in a championship season. So if any player is suspended for one day, they lose 1/186th of their salary. Were that player to be Ohtani, he would lose 1/186th of $2 million and then 1/186th of the $68 million that he's getting in 2034. Because the way baseball and the union look at the deal is no deferred comp. You're getting it all now. So I hope that helps answer your question. He will lose 1/186th of $70 million, but he doesn't have to pay that right now. He only pays 1/186th of $2 million now and then 1/186th of $68 million later. I cannot believe how quickly the Dodgers have continued to throw Ohtani's interpreter under the bus. Did you see what Dave Roberts said yesterday, the manager? He did not get the clarity he sought from Ohtani's statement reading. He wanted clarity, lack of distraction. So he's trying another tack today. He's trying the, hey, things are way better without Mizuhara here. It's like we can talk to Ohtani without a middleman. It's like there's no buffer between us. What a bunch of horse hockey, Dave. Ohtani is the same player with or without Ipe. If you wanted to talk to your player, you go talk to your player. You think that the new translator is not going to be around Ohtani the entire time? You are incorrect. Meanwhile, I cannot believe that no one can find out where Ohtani has reported this massive theft. ESPN is doing a great job, so are so many other outlets, trying to figure out, hey, $4.5 million got stolen. We reported it to the authorities. Where? Which ones? Everywhere we check, no dice. Nah, more to come on that story. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about whether Martin Freeman and Jenna Ortega should be a couple. And then we're going to talk about something that happened in Utah that is an absolute disgrace. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal with David Sampson. We come to you Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. live on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel. We're also on DraftKings Network. You may be watching us right now, and it may be 10:34 Eastern time if you are. I watch a movie every single day. I watched Miller's Girl the other day. Miller's Girl stars Martin Freeman. He was in Fargo. You've seen him before. And Jenna Ortega, I think she's in Wednesday. I've seen her in a couple things. Jenna Ortega has absentee parents, lives in a huge house, ostensibly has rich parents who travel or who are dead, who knows, walks to school every day, is a high school student who somehow befriends a teacher. Like, we haven't seen this before. Hot for Teacher. Coca, do you know that song? Anyway, Martin Freeman plays Mr. Miller, and the reason it's called Miller's Girl is because she becomes Miller's Girl. Now, they don't have sex or anything, but it's almost like Scarlett Johansson and Bill Murray in Lost in Translation. The level of intimacy is even more significant than if they had had sex. I found it to be, what's Coeur d'Alene? I don't know what that is that you're saying, actually. Oh, that's the place in Idaho. Like, that's where the Iron Man is, Coca. Why are we talking about that now? Coca, I'm out of practice. I apologize. Cut that out. All right, we can do that. Here we go. 4-8-69. The thing about the movie with Martin's girl with, all right, ready? 3-6-9. The thing about the movie with Martin Freeman called Miller's Girl is that I had the creepiest feeling the entire time watching it. And all I was thinking is, how did this get made? Who thought this was appropriate? This isn't the 80s. This is 2023 or 24. I kept watching it because I don't stop watching movies. You know that. But here's my advice to you. Skip it. If you want to see Ortega, watch Wednesday. You want to see Freeman, watch Fargo. You don't need to watch them together. I felt like I was watching clips from Horace Mann in the 80s. All right. You want to talk about Coeur d'Alene? I was always too scared to do the Iron Man there. I mean, I did Hawaii. That's supposed to be the scariest of all. But they have a very famous Iron Man there. Let's talk about what happened with the Utah women's basketball team. And I'm just going to ask a question. We got a breakdown of our listeners, where you are, as much as we can learn about you. I appreciate the diversity of people who are watching this show, age, color, gender. I appreciate all of it. I'm humbled by it, so much so that we're taking the show on the road because we want to be in front of you and thank you in person. In Philadelphia next Tuesday, we'll start at City Winery. You can get tickets and watch how we do a unique show live. But I'll tell you, I have never been able to figure out, and this is obviously such a sensitive subject and so difficult, and we've covered it because we do that on Nothing Personal. What it is about people that feel the need to be racist. When my view is live and let live, who cares what color anyone is? I was the opposite. I just wanted the best at your job. I don't care what color you are, what age you are, what sex you are, gender. Do your job well and you're great for me. The Utah women's basketball team was forced to stay at a hotel in Coeur d'Alene. That's Idaho. That's 30 miles away from where they were playing in Spokane. Police escorts back and forth because NCAA rules, you can't stay more than 30 minutes out from your arena. This was right on the edge of that. The women's basketball team is walking to dinner. A truck comes by and yells the N-word at the players. What is that? What, you felt really good about yourself? You thought that black basketball players were taking over your town. You were worried for your job. You were worried for the purity of your place. Explain to me. They go in to have dinner. They're completely shaken up as they should be, despondent, angry. They walk out of the restaurant, and there's two other trucks revving their engines like they're really cool, yelling racial, the N-word again at them. I thought about this last night, how I wanted to present this topic. I feel like I'm yelling into the wind, yelling into the abyss. And all I'm trying to do is talk to the kids. I'm not talking to the A-Rod in that truck or in those trucks. You're a lost cause. You're eventually get old and die. See you later. I'm talking to your kids. Is that the way you want to be? Change it. Be the first generation of a normal human person in your family. Where I am politically, does that matter? Where you are politically, does that matter? People give the excuse, oh, Idaho is a very far right place. I could give a rat's pituitary gland where you are politically. Racism isn't on the political spectrum. It shouldn't be on the political spectrum. The coaches, the players, there were statements done. Utah had to release a statement. Officials on task forces, the police, the mayor, everybody's releasing statements. I'm tired of statements on race. What do you say? Hey, it's outrageous. It's very clear what those people are up to. They're bigoted racists and they want to drive minorities away. True. The mayor wants to apologize to the young women who endured racial slurs while visiting. These incidents should never happen. Totally unacceptable. Is anyone else bored of those statements? I am. Come on, kids, you've got this. You can break the chain. Break the chain of racism, please. Nothing personal pick of the day. We are 36 and 40. We had the heat. We needed the heat plus 20. We had the heat plus 1.5. Jimmy Butler decided not to play. The line moved to like 5. Didn't matter. The heat got crushed. Maybe it's just because I'm a former Miamian and I've seen the heat battle through such adversity and be probably the most successful Eastern Conference playoff team in the last decade. Figuring they'll do it again this year, but they won't. They're a total first-round losing team. Even the Warriors crushed them. We're 36 and 40, hanging on by our fingernails until baseball season. Although I love the pick of the day today. The Indiana Pacers are on fire. The Chicago Bulls absolutely stink. The Pacers are giving 2.5 to the Bulls. It doesn't seem to matter whether you're on the road or at home. So we're taking the Pacers and we are laying the points. That is the nothing personal pick of the day. I love owners' meetings. Absolutely love it. I would go to them. They were 4 times a year. So 18 times 4 is 72. I'm pretty sure I didn't miss one set of owners' meetings because you're on committees, things happen. You feel like you're in the room where it happens. Feel like you're really important. I am the president of a Major League Baseball team. There are only 30 of me. Ah, come genuflect my general direction. What a schnook. NFL meetings are happening now, and there's big things being released. Yesterday, we told you, don't you do the hip drop. Don't do it. We also warned you that they're changing the kickoffs. And I told you that I thought they should just get rid of kickoffs. But no, they passed the rule that they're changing where you can play on a kickoff. It is going to look so funny. It's going to look like a sumo match. You're going to have the kicking team and the receiving team standing there like they're playing Stratego. Like 10 year. All right, cut that. I don't want to say yeah on DraftKings Network. 3-8-69. It's going to look like the beginning of the game Stratego when you've got two teams facing each other in a line. No running starts. You can't even start running if you're the kicking team until the receiving team catches the ball. Forget big time collisions. NGTH, baby. Not going to happen. So they will absolutely get their wish that there will be no excitement or injuries on kickoffs. But the bigger news that came out of the NFL meetings. The one that makes me smile and makes Adam Silver quiver is that it doesn't matter what day Christmas is, we want it. And we're the NFL, and we are a bulldozer in a china shop, and the rest of the leagues are little pieces of porcelain. NBA, you think you've got Christmas Day? Boom. See you later. NBA said, well, wait a minute. It's Wednesday. You can't play football on a Wednesday. This is the one time in 7 years that we can do it. We're going to get back to winning Christmas Day. Roger Goodell announced yesterday, not so fast, Adam, buddy. We're going to play a game on Christmas. Adam Silver said, no way. Please don't play a game on Christmas. And Roger Goodell said, Adam, you know what? I agree with you. We're not going to play a game on Christmas. Thank you so much, Roger. Adam, we're going to play two games on Christmas. Oh, my God. Total despondency. Can you imagine that? Roger Goodell has decided that they're going to play NFL games on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. The only day missing from that is Tuesdays. And you can mark my word, there will be Tuesday games at one point or another. We are heading directly toward 7-day-a-week NFL. Think about it. Why, when you have so few games, would you play so many games at the same time at a 1 o'clock or 4:15 window? In the old days, it was 105, 405. Smell you later. Then they did a few 410s, put in a few 425s. Stay tuned for 60 Minutes. Unless you're on the West Coast. Love you and miss you, Pat Summerall. Such a major announcement by Roger Goodell. You want to talk about the power of the NFL? You announced two games on Wednesday, Christmas Day. That's power. The other thing they wanted to make sure that everyone understood extremely clearly is that this whole streaming situation last year was just the beginning. We're re-upping with Amazon. We're going to have Peacock. Do you realize that there's going to be the game in Brazil? They're going to Brazil. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to play in Brazil. It's going to be early in the season, like week one, streamed exclusively on Peacock. Now, this is not Europe. And I want to remind people, I mean, I shouldn't need to, but feels fairly obvious. Brazil is on a different time zone than London. The London games were often played at 9:30 in the morning, Eastern time. The Brazil game, for all of you Eagles fans out there, see you next Tuesday in Philadelphia. If you're an Eagles fan, you may want to join me. Brazil's time is such that they will be playing far closer to regular time, Eastern time. They haven't announced the exact window, but it's not going to be 9:30. And Peacock gets to be the exclusive streamer, the exclusive channel for that game. I love the plan. I absolutely love the plan. We're going to take what we do well, and then we're going to do it more and more and more. And when we're done with the fans, they won't know what games on what channel. They will only know that every day there's something they can watch and bet on. Fantasy, regular. It's brilliant. It's like, why would you have the greatest food ever and not open on Sundays? Who would do that? That you're only available 6 days a week to eat. That's the equivalent of it. Hey, if you love something, why not make it available and enjoy it every single day? That's how Roger Goodell is looking at this. The other thing I would mention to you is that Roger Goodell, when I told you, I don't know, last year or this year, that he's very much Yertle the Turtle, the Dr. Seuss character, the ruler of everything that he sees. Roger Goodell sees the other leagues. I'm the ruler. He sees franchise valuations. I'm the ruler. He sees different markets around the world. I'm the ruler. NBA running off and trying to play games in China, MLB doing Korea, trying to do games in Mexico City where the Yankees just were. Let me tell you, when Roger Goodell says that he's taking his game global and he announces, how about Ghana? How about Switzerland? We'll go to China. We'll go to Argentina. There is no country with an A that we don't want to start with. By the way, Africa, continent, Asia, continent, Austria, country, Argentina, country. You getting what I'm saying here? Roger Goodell is going to start at A and go to Z. And he's not going to stop until his franchise valuations have lapped the other leagues, when his grasp of the American and national and international revenue chokehold is his. Roger Goodell left those owner meetings. He looked right at you in the camera. He looked right at you as a fan of the NFL and said, it's just business. This is nothing personal.